855-795-5909. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com.
Seven Russian military intelligence officers have been indicted at the Justice Department this morning. And Assistant Attorney General John Demers was accusing them of engaging in malicious cyber activities against the United States and its allies.
Russian GRU officers being caught red-handed while they attempted to breach the cybersecurity of the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons.
Demers noting that three of the seven were already indicted in July for conspiring to influence the U.S. presidential election in 2016. A U.S. Navy veteran under arrest and suspected of sending envelopes containing ingredients found in the poison ricin to the Pentagon and the White House. 39-year-old William Clyde Allen of Logan, Utah, spent 4 years in the Navy 2 decades ago. He's expected to be formally charged tomorrow. You can find us online anytime or at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
I've been telling you for a year how great MyPillow is. Well, guess what? There's a great deal on MyPillow.com. You can get 4 pillows for about the price of 1 MyPillow. Click on the 4-pack special when you go to MyPillow.com. Enter promo code USA. You'll get 2 MyPillow premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows, perfect for travel, for half off. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA, but do it now.
First Lady Melania Trump continues her four-nation goodwill tour of Africa, now on her second stop in Malawi, where she's visited with children at a primary school, and she's meeting with Malawi's First Lady. Before leaving for Malawi, Mrs. Trump visited a so-called slave castle in Ghana, one of 40 such castles on West Africa's Gold Coast, where enslaved Africans were held before they were loaded onto ships for the voyage to the Western Hemisphere to be slaves. The First Lady described her visit to the slave castle as very, very emotional. The National Retail Federation is saying it's forecasting strong Christmas sales this season, and John Clemens has details.
The National Retail Federation expects sales this Christmas to increase by as much as 4.8% over 2017 figures. If correct, that would mean sales of $720.89 billion. Matthew Shade, the president and the CEO of the Federation, tells us, thanks to a healthy economy with strong consumer confidence, we believe that this Christmas season will continue to reflect the growth we've seen over the past year. I'm John Clemens.
Employment line's a little bit shorter. The Labor Department says 207,000 Americans filed first-time claims last week, 8,000 fewer than the previous week, and a bit below what analysts expected. Find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you.
It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be giving my observations on today's presentation on the Courthouse Square project that was sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce and featured an urban planner, Mayor Phil Greiner, and developer Jack Cust. It's Thursday, October 4th, 2018, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So glad you could join me this afternoon for another edition of Taking Care of Business. As we get together every week at this time, for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington, in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, a quick check of the weather shows it's currently 67 degrees at 12:05. The forecast shows that we're going to have intervals of clouds and sun with a possible shower later in the day, a high of 80 degrees and a low of 54. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 68 and a low of 54. On Saturday, we're going to have mostly cloudy skies in the morning, then some clearing with a high of 69 and a low of 59. And for Sunday, it'll be cloudy early, then sunny in the afternoon, a high of 79 and a low of 63. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently down 222.60 to 26,605.79. The NASDAQ down 128.51 to 7896.57. S&P 500 is down 24.84 to 2900.67. Oil is down 93 cents to $75.48 per barrel. And gold up $2.20 to $1,205.10 an ounce. All right, well, once again, I want to welcome everybody to the program. This is Taking Care of Business. I'm your host, Jim Gano. And if you're watching now on Facebook or listening, particularly if you're listening on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio app or website, we ask that you open up another URL, go to Facebook, find this page or this show's page called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano, like and follow that, and then periodically throughout the week, if there's something that's important to business, we'll place it there. Usually we preview the show or that week's show on our Facebook page so you'll know what we're going to be talking about. Have a special guest coming in, our tentatively scheduled to come in next week, so we'll promote that once we lock that down. At this time in the program, it's the business quote of the week, and it's brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. And it's from Tim Ferriss, who's the author of The 4-Hour Work Week, and he says, "The stars will never align, and the traffic lights of life will never all be green at the same time. The universe doesn't conspire against you, but it doesn't go out of its way to line up the pins either. Conditions are never perfect. Someday is a disease that will take your dreams to the grave with you. Pro and con lists are just as bad. If it's important to you and you want to do it eventually, just do it, and correct course along the way." And again, that's Tim Ferriss, author of The 4-Hour Work Week. And obviously what he's talking about there is anytime that you have a plan and you procrastinate, you put it off, you'll get to it someday. And it can be everything from, I'm going to reorganize the inventory shelves someday. I'm going to buy new product someday. We have to change the showroom around someday. What he's suggesting to you is not to wait for that someday to happen, but to do it today. And it kind of reminds me of Larry Winget's phrase, TNT, today, not tomorrow. So why put it off? Get it done today, and then the work is done, and hopefully it's helping you get to a better place in your business. So again, from Tim Ferriss, the author of The 4-Hour Work Week, "The stars will never align, and the traffic lights of life will never all be green at the same time. The universe doesn't conspire against you, but it doesn't go out of its way to line up the pins either. Conditions are never perfect. Someday is a disease that will take your dreams to the grave with you. Pro and con lists are just as bad. If it's important to you and you want to do it eventually, just do it and correct course along the way." So I really do like that, and I think that it's very telling on how sometimes in business you become too busy almost, and you're trying to prioritize what has to get done. If it's important to you, you'll make the time and you'll get it done. So this morning at Stanton Ridge Golf Club, golf course, there was a meeting that was sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. It was called a 2008 business briefing, and it was in reference to the Courthouse Square project, an economic forecast forum. And there, the attendees were about 125 people in the room. They were able to hear from Jack Cust, who's the developer of the Courthouse Square project, the mayor of Flemington, Phil Greiner, and senior planner John Barry regarding the plans for Courthouse Square. John Barry is a senior planner with Heyer Gruhl & Associates, a community planning firm located in Red Bank, New Jersey. He's an experienced land use planner that works on a broad range of projects on behalf of private and public sector clients, including representing planning and zoning boards in five municipalities.
Mr. Barry is well-versed in local redevelopment and housing law and has worked to develop creative planning solutions to spur redevelopment efforts in both urban and suburban communities. He regularly provides expert testimony before planning boards and municipal governing bodies in support of redevelopment investigations and plans. Also in attendance and speaking to the crowd was Mayor Phil Greiner from Flemington and Jack Cuss, the developer of the Courthouse Square project. Now, there has been a lot of talk of late over the Courthouse Square project. So if you're not familiar, if you're listening from out of town, there is a huge building on Main Street in Flemington called the Union Hotel. Has not had an overnight guest since the late 1950s. Shuttered its doors about 10 years ago. Closed up the restaurant and bar portion. And it has just sat there in decay for about 10 years. Two or three developers have come before Mr. Cuss did to say that they were going to redevelop the hotel and reopen it. And all failed. And then when Mr. Cuss came through, he's been able to prove that, yes, he has the money to take on a development of this size and scope. He has the plans there. He recruited or met with Georgian Court University to make them part of the development project as well. So it will encompass retail. It will encompass housing with apartments, with hotel rooms. And it's an opportunity for Flemington to revitalize itself. But it has come under some very vocal opposition from individuals that don't want to change anything about Flemington streetscape. They don't want to change anything about how this town looks or feels. And yet, in the same breath, everybody will complain. Remember when Liberty Village, another outlet shopping mall nearby, was filled to capacity. You couldn't find parking. It was great to see so many people walking up and down Main Street. But if we do nothing, then obviously nothing will change. So it's time now, and the decisions are getting very close to being, the final decisions are getting close to being made, where this project can go forward. Again, there is still vocal opposition. There are three candidates, one running for mayor, two for town council seats that oppose redevelopment. And there's three candidates, well, the mayor and two others that are in favor of redevelopment. So there's a little bit of a possible balance shift on the town council with regards to the development. And now what I wanted to go through today was some of the major talking points that were that came across today from the planner, Mr. Barry, from Mr. Cust, and from Mayor Greiner. And I thought that one of the points that was very telling was from Mr. Barry. Now, the Union Hotel was built back in the 1800s, and he was trying to describe when redevelopment is necessary. And so one of the sentences that he used that I caught onto was, when an area has lost its intended use, it's time to look at redevelopment. And I think it's safe to say that the intended use of the Union Hotel, as it currently sits with its very tiny rooms, with a little sink and a little bed, and a community shower down at the end, a community bathroom at the end of the hall where you have to go to a shower, I think that has, in effect, lost its intended use. Does this town need a hotel? Does it need a pub restaurant? Yeah, absolutely. But I don't think anybody's going to want to sleep in a tiny bedroom that's smaller than this studio is right now and have a sink in their room and go down the hall to take a shower. Certainly not the way I look at overnight accommodations when I'm going to be staying at a hotel. So when you say it's lost its intended use, there's a number of examples of this here in New Jersey. For instance, Route 22 in the Bridgewater area, when it was built in the 1930s, was built to accommodate just a certain number of cars that had a maximum speed of 35 miles an hour. It was never intended for tractor trailers, dump trucks. It was never intended for speeds exceeding 50 to 60 miles an hour. So lanes had to be widened, medians had to be built, things like that. That's an example of a redevelopment. And that's only a highway. That's not talking about a main street of a town. But still, you understand how sometimes you have to change in order to move forward. And we're going to talk more about this after the break. And I got a lot of topics that the developer brought up, that the planner brought up, that I think are worthy of a little bit more review. I'll also be giving you the website that explains the development from the developer standpoint, where you can get all of the information as they know it, rather than listening to conjecture, innuendo, or misstatements on Facebook. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We'll be right back after this.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me this afternoon. My name is Jim Gano, and the program is called Taking Care of Business. And part of that was done this morning by the Chamber of Commerce when they sponsored an economic forum on the Courthouse Square project over at the Stanton Ridge Golf Club. And the Chamber got a little bit of flack from people about, you know, why was this only for Chamber members and things like that. Guess what? The Chamber serves its members, and so it made this available to the members. If you're not a Chamber member, maybe you should consider becoming one. There's no way that any one organization or any one individual could possibly cater to everybody and make everybody happy. So they took the step of, let's have this forum so that the developer could dispute some of the mistruths that are being spoken. The mayor could dispute them, and then the planner could come in and give good reasons for redevelopment. So one of the good reasons that Mr. Barry gave as a planner for redevelopment was, and again, when certain properties become stagnant or there's a disinvestment in them. And I think we can all agree that the Union Hotel has got both of those things, stagnation and disinvestment. Stagnation in that nothing's happened on that property in 10 years. And when you consider that the upper floors haven't been used in over 60 years, that's telling me that this property, again, has lost its intended use. And now, by being vacant for so long, there's a bit of a disinvestment. And he gave Somerville as an example of good redevelopment. And he mentioned that he was from Bridgewater. I live in Bridgewater, have grown up there my whole life. My parents were from Somerville. I spent a lot of time there growing up. So I saw a thriving town in the 60s and 70s. And then in the 80s, I saw the decline of Somerville. When the Bridgewater Commons Mall was built, Somerville became a ghost town. Nobody went to Somerville. Businesses that had been within the community for years suddenly were closing up shop. They couldn't compete with the PC Richards, the big box stores and things like that. And they were having to close down and go out of business as a result. So Somerville had to kind of redevelop itself in certain areas. They had built an old strip mall back in the 70s, and I don't think it ever really had full tenancy. A lot of time I would say maybe 80, 85% full tenancy. But it really wasn't practical, and it didn't really look all that great either. So they tore that down. They built new apartments over retail. They brought in Wolfgang's restaurant. Other businesses are starting to come by. Apartments are now starting to rent, even though they're expensive. They're starting to rent to millennials that want to hop on the train at the Somerville train station just a block away and head into work in New York City or Hoboken. So it's an area that's working. And they also thought of something where they said they didn't want to be all things to all people. So they said they were going to focus on antiques and food. And it became like the antique place, the antique town to go. They had a huge 20,000 square foot consignment antique emporium, if you will, in the old Woolworths building. And it worked. And then other antique shops along Main Street, Division Street. And it really worked. And I never thought that there'd be that much of an audience. I thought that they were going to exclude so much of the demographic. But if you didn't go for antiques, you went for food. And the restaurants are really carrying the town now. That place is hopping on a Friday night. They have a new microbrewery that's being built in that old Woolworths building that will be four floors of a microbrewery and pub restaurants. So, again, there's a resurgence going on there. And people can – you generally sense the excitement of – business owners and residents that this town is coming back to life, even though it took 15 to 20 years. So again, a good example of redevelopment. It's not going to happen overnight, but it does happen. And creating those centers, whether it's the Division Street in Somerville that was blocked off to vehicle traffic, or the Courthouse Square project here in Flemington, creates an area where activity can be focused, or an activity-focused center, on young professionals and empty nesters. A lot of times when people, the children move out, they downsize. They're only looking for apartments. They're not looking necessarily for a one-acre property that they would have to maintain. So a Courthouse Square project can be that central gathering place in town where people could gather. False statements, and this was said by the mayor, it was said by Jack Cust, and it was alluded to by the planner, that there are so many false statements currently surrounding the Courthouse Square project. Things like taxes are going to go up, that the demolition is going to be noisy and loud and dirty, and yeah, that's going to happen, or that the hotel was going to be demolished in its entirety, and that simply isn't true. They talked about how people are saying, and it, candidates who are running for office are saying, that the infrastructure costs will be incurred by the residents. Again, not true. The developer has come out publicly and said he's covering the costs of any sewer, water, things like that. So rather than lie to find our way into office, rather than lie and make illusory misstatements, if you will, why not tell the truth? Why not say, okay, on its merit, the project is good? Or if you have specific concerns, address them with the developer or address them with the mayor. And I don't see that happening. Don't fight the battle on social media and Facebook. Take it to the source. So there is a website regarding Courthouse Square. It's called CourthouseSquareFlemington.com, all one word, CourthouseSquareFlemington.com. This was created by the developer, and it has information regarding the pilot study or the pilot program. It has a frequently asked questions page. It has testimonials. It has every document relating to the project there for you to review and make an informed, educated decision. Don't be lemmings, and it's like, I don't want to see a bunch of people walking over the cliff because one person who's very loud on Facebook or social media is telling them to do that. Make an informed decision. What do you want this town to be in 15 or 20 years? We can preserve the past. We can preserve every building and not change a thing. And it'll look like the postcards that were taken back in the 1950s and 60s, and nothing will have changed. Is that what you want for Flemington? I don't particularly care for it like that. I'd rather be thinking, and I'm 57 years old, I'd rather be thinking of, what does the next generation need? What will this town look like in 15 or 20 years? If we preserve it as is, do nothing, and nothing will come of it, meaning there's no other developer that's going to come through with this kind of money. There's no other person who's going to come through and renovate the hotel or anything like that. We could come back in 10 years and it would just look the same. And how sad would that be? I think I'd rather look at things that Vancouver has done, that Seattle has done, that Austin, Texas have done, where they take old sections of town and they refurbish them and they bring them back to life, and they have what they call new town sections and old town sections. You still honor the history. You honor what got you there. But then you create a new area of town that appeals to other people. This doesn't have to be something that's just good for one or two people. This town has to serve the masses. So, again, if you go to the website, CourthouseSquareFlemington.com, you'll get answers on all of the misstatements and the falsehoods that have come out. Interesting statistic. Property values in Flemington have dropped by 20% from 2008 to 2013. And they've only increased by 5% since that point. So really negligible property value growth. So if you bought a house for, you know, $400,000 and you lost 20% of that, you know, so now you're down to a value of $320,000, but only gained back 5%, you're still underwater. You're in the hole. This project is going to is going to increase property values. Once you have a reason for people to come here, they want to come, they want to visit Courthouse Square, they want to shop, they want to go to Georgian Court to school. When they're in between classes, they're going to want to shop, they're going to want to eat. Now it becomes a desirable town again, and people will want to invest in it. And by investing in it, I mean they will buy property. So again, the property values should increase as a result of this project. The first payment in the pilot of $600,000 would result in a 13% tax reduction for businesses and residents. And yet we're scoffing at the pilot programs that's going to pay over $20 million or $24 million and saying, we don't need that. No, of course we don't need that. We'll just watch the town go bankrupt in the process. When asked about jobs, Mr. Cuss said that it would bring close to 200 to 300 jobs during construction. You have all different kinds of trades. So there will be construction jobs. Once the project is done, you have to staff that hotel. You're going to have to staff the restaurant and the bars. All of those surrounding businesses that are going to move in there will need more staff. So it'll probably be 200, 300 temporary jobs and then close to 200, 300 permanent jobs. The mayor said, or actually I think it was Chris Phelan, the president of the chamber, said that confidence is coming back to Flemington and to Hunterdon. Unicom just signed the paperwork the other day to take over the Merck property. It's going to be a $2 million technology center. So what's going to happen is you're going to have a ton of people moving in to the White House, Reddington area, maybe Flemington, Clinton, et cetera, that are going to be working there. They're going to have to shop somewhere. They're going to have to eat somewhere. Why not direct them to Flemington? The ExxonMobil project, the expansion was approved. Construction has already started. It's going to bring another 300 or 400 jobs, you know, to Hunterdon County. So in the past, when everybody said that you couldn't develop past the Branchburg town line, we're starting to see that line push a little bit further west. And the benefit will be the towns that are west of Branchburg. Guess what? Flemington is west of Branchburg. So hopefully we'll start to see new growth, new people coming into the area. Overall, I think it goes without saying that for 10 years, I have been in support of any redevelopment of Main Street Flemington. Do I like to just throw things out, the baby out with the bathwater? No, I don't. But when something has lost its usefulness, when it's lost its intended purpose, it's lost its intended use, it no longer serves a use in the town, then you have to look at it and say, is it time that we move on? The example that I give is down in Raritan Borough, there is a bronze marker on a small piece of property. And it says, on this site stood the Frelinghuysen House, where the treaty effectively ending World War I was signed. Very historic place, you know, that, you know, the Frelinghuysen family hosted that signing of the treaty. You would think that that would be something that would be preserved. But even that had to go. It was in such a state of disrepair. It had lost its intended use. And now on that site sits a PC Richard and a Burger King. Sometimes you have to move forward. We can't preserve everything in this town. And not everything is worth preserving. So it's time that we move this town forward. And the only way to do that is by supporting the Courthouse Square Project, Mayor Phil Greiner for re-election, Brooke Warden, and Mark Hain. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
For the past few hours, U.S. senators have been poring over the FBI report on its investigation of sexual assault allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Most Republicans say they found the report very thorough, saying it uncovered nothing of concern. However, Democrats, like Senator Dianne Feinstein, see it differently. She called the investigation
very limited, and it will be interesting after all of the members have an opportunity to read the documents, and we have an opportunity in public to discuss our conclusions.
Republican leaders want to vote on Kavanaugh's confirmation tomorrow or Saturday. Florence, South Carolina police say the man who opened fire on officers yesterday, killing one and wounding six, is 74-year-old Fred Hopkins, who's now in custody. This is USA Radio News.
Even if you believe you're eating a healthy diet, you may not be getting all the nutrients your body needs. Cardiologist Dr. Suzanne Steinbaum gives us the scoop.
Omega-3s are beneficial for overall health. They're considered to be essential nutrients. The body really needs them to function. They help support healthy blood flow to the arteries, cardiovascular health. They're good for cognitive brain health, for joint health, for eyes, and for the skin. The thing is, the body doesn't make them. And people are just not getting enough of this in their diet. Supplementation might be the best way to go. Talk to your doctor. Now we can really figure out if you have enough omega-3s, and that's through a blood test called an omega-3 index. Or you can go to the website knowyouromega3s.com, where there's actually a quiz you can take that can help you determine if you might have a deficit of omega-3s and might need a supplement, or if in fact you're getting enough in your diet.
Listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington Borough. So glad to be a part of Flemington and its business community, and glad that we had the opportunity to learn a little bit more about the Courthouse Square project today from the developer, from the mayor, from Chris Phelan, chamber president, and from Mr. Cust, who's the redeveloper or the developer of record for the project. So hopefully some of what I told you earlier will help you with some of the misinformation that is out there. If not, go to the website, courthousesquareflemington.com, so you can get all the information that you're looking for to answer any questions you may have with regards to the project. It has the drawings of the project. It has the answers with regards to the pilot program, things like that. So make sure that when you go to the voting booth this year that you are informed and you're making good decisions. You're not just listening to a lot of rhetoric and hyperbole that's being spewed out there on Facebook. Now back to our regularly scheduled program here at Taking Care of Business. Time to talk about issues affecting business. And one question that came up recently from a client of mine was, should they start selling their product online? And obviously there are questions that go with that as far as, do you have the infrastructure in place? Do you have a website? Do you have a means of ordering that people can easily access? And sometimes it looks enticing, but it's not always there for you. So even though technology has the ability to streamline business operation, there's no doubt that decisions today are more complex than ever before because of it. With so many options to improve and expand your small business technologically, how do you know what's worthwhile and what's worth skipping? Now, one such decision that small business owners now have to weigh on is whether or not to sell their products and services online through the likes of Amazon and eBay or even directly. Chaz Cooper, who's the CEO and founder of Rising Star Reviews, weighed the pros and cons to help small business owners make an informed decision. On the pro side, he says, you can make more money. Now, for retail businesses, the most important metrics are revenue per square foot and profit margins. Online sales increase revenue with little or no investment in square footage. This makes sales, our online sales, a valuable contributor to your profitability. And you can increase your customer retention. Many small businesses can't get better customer retention from better brand loyalty by selling items online. For example, if a hair salon sells beauty products online to their clients engage with the business more often than just during salon visits. And this frequent engagement raises your brand loyalty, which in turn helps you with customer retention. Now, on the con side, you don't want to get distracted. Online sales can hurt a small business if the business sells an online product that is not truly complementary to the company's core competence. It's usually better to do just one thing extremely well than to do 10 things poorly. It's easy to underestimate resources needed. Most small businesses have very limited resources, including both time and money. It's easy for a business to underestimate the resources that they're going to need to be successful at online sales, since selling online often requires a deep skill set in digital marketing, including SEO, SEM, PPC, web design, UX design, and a host of other skills. So, again, before jumping into that online space, you may want to also make sure that you have the resources at your disposal to do it. Another thing with online that people don't realize is the amount of inventory you have to carry. So make sure that this is something, you know, when you talk about inventory, let's talk like women's clothing. You would need sizes from small, maybe to XL, 2XL, somewhere, or, you know, size 0 to size 22. Do you have the physical space to handle that? And that's not always the easiest part. Looks attractive. A lot of people tell me, well, I want to be in the same space as Amazon. I want to make it as convenient as possible. The future of retail is on the internet. If so, it may be a long-term strategy, not something that's just short-term. I want to talk to you for a minute about your online reputation and how to get an amazing online reputation for your business. And you know reviews are important. But how do you gather the favorable ones? How do you get people to write favorable reviews about you? Now, when a consumer is using a search engine to look up local business for their products or services, online reviews are one of the first things they look for. This general perception of your brand by the public is referred to as your online reputation, and it is crucial in determining your local search rankings. Your online reputation is an ongoing project that requires proactive maintenance. And while it can be overwhelming, here are a few tips to help you create an amazing reputation. The first, obviously, you have to get started somewhere. So cultivating a good online reputation may seem like a lot of work up front, but following a few simple techniques can help you get started. Now, after you've sold a product or completed a service for a customer, you have roughly 1 week or so to solicit feedback from them. There are multiple approaches to get someone to leave you some positive feedback. The first approach is to simply ask for a testimonial, and you can train your staff to do the same. There's also nothing wrong with utilizing a more traditional marketing technique and handing out print materials, such as flyers or business cards. And if you would rather have a more technical approach, there is always email solicitation. If you don't already, be sure to gather your customer's name, phone number, and especially their email address. That way, after you've done business with a customer, you can send a follow-up email thanking them for their business and displaying the links to the websites where you would like them to leave positive feedback. Number two, where to send your customers. So now you know how to ask for reviews, but how do you know where to send them to? Review sites have a major impact on customer decisions, so you want to send them where it will help your online reputation the most. The top major review platforms are Google My Business, Facebook, Yelp, and YP, formerly the Yellow Pages. Online reviews are said to make up at least 10% of how Google and other search engines will rank their results, which makes Google My Business your number one place to send your customers to leave feedback. However, if your customers do not have a Gmail account, or it is recommended you send them to Facebook, Yelp, or YP as backups. Customers will need to have accounts with the aforementioned platforms to leave reviews. And maintenance. Now, you may be wondering, now that I've solicited and received reviews, is my work done? The answer is no. Your online reputation is an ongoing project that requires maintenance and consistent monitoring. Underline that. Consistent monitoring. You will need to continue to solicit new reviews so that your online reputation stays fresh and competitive. If you only have reviews that were posted 6 months to a year ago, they don't hold as much credibility as a recent review. The goal of a steady stream of reviews is to continuously display how great your products and services or customer service is. You will also want to take a proactive approach to managing your online reputation as well. With the positive always comes the negative reviews. Every once in a while, a negative review will surface. It happens. You don't want to just ignore it. You want to take control of the situation to manage what people are saying about you. So always be sure to respond within 24 hours of the posting to offer a solution or to write a simple thank you or, if necessary, an apology. So online reputation, your business reputation, your image, it's not just physically what people see in the store. It's also what they see online, and you're really going to need to make sure as we move forward that you spend particularly care with it. And there were probably five businesses over the last week that I had to look up their website for a phone number or something like that. I was surprised how many businesses still don't have websites. They didn't have a Facebook page. They were relying on information that was basically just downloaded from different directories. So for one was a pizzeria, and it had, you know, the name of the pizzeria, the address, and their phone number. Didn't tell me the hours, didn't have a link to a menu, didn't have a directions page, but I knew this was a good pizzeria, so I wanted to go there. But you would think that in 2018, everybody would have at least a static website, you know, pictures of some pizza, you know, the menus to display, and a simple direction page. The hours, what credit cards do these people accept, things like that. If you own a business, it's a good idea to spend an hour looking through Google My Business, Yelp, YP, Yahoo, Manta, all of these different services out there that are collecting all this data, which is easy to do, and putting it out there. You're going to have to claim that listing as the owner of the business. Update it if you can with your hours, the payment terms. Is there parking on-site, off-site? If you have a menu, upload that. You just want to make sure that people know a little bit more about your business than what's out there on a basic, you know, Yellow Pages type directory. So make sure that you're controlling your reputation online. Nobody's going to do it for you, except if you hire somebody to do it for you. And sometimes that's not a bad idea either. You can work with them, tell them what you want, let them build it, and then when it's done, they can show it to you before release. Had several customers or several clients over the last week that were complaining about they have problem customers. One woman said that she made 7 shirts for one company. The lady who picked them up and ordered them loved them, brought them to her office. The boss didn't like them, made a change. She reran the order. The lady who picked them up loved them and brought them to the boss. He hated them. And then asked for a full refund. So what do you do with a customer that's always giving you problems? Now, if you're in business and sales, I know you've experienced a client giving you problems and making unreasonable demands. If it's a choice between being too generous versus being inflexible and looking out for yourself first, you should lean on the side of being too generous. That client could give you more business down the road. When you do business fairly and favorably, word gets around, and you build a reputation for being honest and honorable. On the other hand, if you fight the client on it, you will likely lose favor with them, and they may not continue to use your product or service. But when are enough problems enough? How much should you grin and put up with it when a client is giving you a hard time? Now, if you're desperate for business, if your pipeline is a limp garden hose and you've got few prospects, you'll become a punching bag. You'll be lowering your price and doing extra things not in the contract, losing both time and money. Don't do that. If your pipeline is a giant metal cylinder bursting at the seams with more prospects than you can even handle, you can choose who you want to do business with and who not to do business with. When a customer is giving you problems, it's freeing to be able to hold your ground. But what if the customer giving you the problems is one of your biggest clients? What if they are a major account with lots of future potential? There's an old saying, guard your king and queen, let the pawns go. It's usually better for business in case of a disagreement or a dispute for the outcome to favor the client and not you. But if you've got a huge pipeline and they're being totally unreasonable, let them go. They are a pawn and not worth the headache. If it's a king or queen, don't let a headache ruin a potentially lucrative opportunity. Look for ways that you can agree and see how you can still make things work if possible. There are many fish in the sea, but only a few whales. That said, get so big that you can do business with whoever you want to do business with. This question comes up a lot. And years ago, the term was, I need to fire my client, or I need to fire my customers, or how do I fire my customers? How do I fire my clients? And when you have that problem account, and we've all had them at some point, there's no easy fix. You don't want to hurt feelings. You don't want to anger them. And you're always afraid that, well, if I tell this person I can't help them, they're going to tell everybody I'm no good. Sometimes it's still a good thing. One trick that Mike Michalowicz brings up in the Pumpkin Plan, when you have that problem client, when you have that problem customer, refer them to your competition. Just very politely tell them, I don't think I'm the right store to help you with this, but I think you should go to and name the company and the person there if you know them, and then let them be their headache, you know, not yours. Now you'd be able to focus better on the customers that are willing to work your way and within your parameters and systems. So it's called the Pumpkin Plan. Feed the biggest pumpkins. Don't, you know, waste your time, you know, constantly fighting over, you know, people that are making unreasonable demands of you. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to boost your digital marketing efforts. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot in Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot in Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano. Next week, we will be celebrating 7 years on the air here at Hunterdon Chamber Radio. Glad to be a part of this since its inception, and very happy and proud to be a part of Hunterdon Chamber Radio, the only radio station owned and operated by a Chamber of Commerce that's run pretty much by local business people. And again, if you ever have the time and can join us on our website, look at some of the old archive programs. We have a lot of different hosts, from accountants to lawyers to home improvement specialists. We have a sports radio show on Friday afternoons, counselors chat. There's so much going on these programs. It's definitely a worthwhile resource, and glad that the Chamber has that, and glad we'll be celebrating 7 years together next week. I want to thank a lot of my loyal listeners that have been with me pretty much from the beginning. So If you're still with me, and we've been together for several years, I certainly thank you, and I appreciate all the letters and emails and cards when people tell me that, hey, I tried something I heard on your show and it worked and it's helping my business. So glad we can help along the way as well. Back to the program now. I want to switch gears. I was going to talk about something else, but that story is a little lengthy. So I want to talk about what's currently known as the top five trends in customer service innovation. Now, whether your business is just starting out or starting to focus more heavily on the customer, or if the goal is to continue to adapt along with new innovation, today's market is proof that customer focus will remain a critical element in your success. Now, for years now, businesses have been focused on improving customer service because they knew it was a key aspect that could make or break their sales. As a result, the industry, which was once plagued by high turnover rates and card abandonment issues, turned things around. Now, by improving relationships and shifting along with changing customer demands, successful companies are finding a good balance between the productivity and satisfaction needed to stay ahead of the competition. Owing to the success is the fact that they are investing in better software and tools, improving their website functionality, and even bringing on staff trained to handle customer inquiries more effectively. So here's a closer look at the top five trends in customer service innovation. The first is a greater focus on automation. Today's customers are demanding more informed and looking for the quickest, most efficient way to get the answers they need. Some of that information can be easily discovered on their own with the right tools, but when they must call in, getting them quickly to the right agent and the right info is critical. Automation tools such as CRM and service automation platforms make this possible, whether it's a help center, chatbot, or a self-service portal that helps you be available 24/7. Automation will reduce overhead costs and increase efficiencies across the board. Training and hiring a new kind of customer service agent. At one time, call centers were hiring agents based on their ability to deliver care over a unique channel. Those with great phone skills, for example, manned the lines, while those who were quick at typing on the keyboard or computer savvy would be responsible for chat replies. Today, however, customer care agents are being trained across channels. Those that can handle phone, chat, email, social media, and even texting are quickly becoming the new preferred agent of choice. Their flexibility is invaluable to businesses as they can seamlessly move around and meet customers wherever they are. Chat support is gaining a lot of steam. A friend of mine owns a business, and they're celebrating 9 years in business. And one of the things I like about his website is as soon as you click on it, a little pop-up box comes up and says, hi. You know, and he was actually a guest on the show. He said, hi, I'm Evans. How can I help you? And here it is, the CEO of the company that was taking the time for this chatbot to come up. And now you could answer a question. And when he was on the program, the company's called Wired for Wine. So let's say you're trying to find a very rare wine. And if you type it in, he'd respond back. Yes, I can get that for you. No, I can't, but here's where you can. Would you like that bottle personalized? Things like that. So live chat is quickly becoming the preferred method of communication today. It's easy to understand why. Live chat software is instant and efficient. Contacts can see activity in real time and exchange replies just as quickly as a traditional phone call. An easy-to-use chat system between customers and agents is the number one way to resolve issues. After all, consumers are already on their mobile devices throughout the day. These chat solutions need to work well, though, and they must improve efficiency and accessibility. A great live chat function on your website eases friction and support will help customers feel good about their interaction with your company. There's also self-service pushing, which will continue, and customers want to find their own answers. They don't want to waste their precious time or money to dial into a business only to be met with a long menu of prompts when they have a request as simple as a business location or hours of operation. So whether they head over to your website in search of that information or use Google, businesses are putting a greater focus on providing necessary information in an easy-to-locate way to meet customer demands for self-service. Cloud services such as Zendesk help make it easy to offer self-service, and businesses are finding that meeting customer needs for self-service also makes good business sense because it reduces support calls or costs overall. Social media customer care. Social media has ingrained itself into the modern culture. Consumer and business presence on these sites is a driving force behind their popularity. The instant connection, the ability to grow brand loyalty, and the gratification customers receive when they can connect quickly in a chat message on a site they're familiar with all make social media customer care an important focus. What's more, as businesses adapt and provide care on these channels, consumers are coming to expect it. And that means for any businesses not available via social, a split-second decision can send those customers on to the competition. Tools such as TwazApp are helping businesses better address customer concerns in a timely manner by tracking conversations and seeing when brands are mentioned. From this, customer service can take quick action to address customer issues and questions and help customers feel like businesses are actually listening to what they have to say. Even while businesses have turned a new leaf and are showing customers that they truly matter, there's still lots of work to do. Whether your business is just starting to focus more heavily on the customer, or if the goal is to continue to adapt along with new innovations, today's market is proof that customer focus will remain a critical element in success. On the social side, I think the example that I gave a couple of weeks ago was if you put in hashtag United Airlines and you made a complaint, United Airlines is going to get right back to you within seconds to say, sorry you had that problem, but that's how much they're investing in monitoring customer complaints and customer care rather than just leaving a negative comment hanging out there in cyberspace. In sports, in NASCAR news, in the Monster Energy Series, Ryan Blaney drove past the crashing Jimmy Johnson and Martin Truex Jr. to win the inaugural Charlotte Roval 400 at Charlotte Motor Speedway last week. Blaney now advances to the round of 12 in the playoff series. Eliminated from the playoffs were drivers Jimmy Johnson, Alex Bowman, Austin Dillon, and Denny Hamlin. This week, the teams will head to Dover, Delaware for the fourth race of the championship playoffs for the Dover 400. In other NASCAR news, it was announced that cars competing at Daytona and Talladega next year under the new rules package will not be using restrictor plates. In Major League Baseball, the playoffs have begun. In the NFL, football, Week 5 kicks off tonight with the Colts playing the Patriots. In local action, the Giants play the Carolina Panthers, and the Eagles will take on the Vikings. In NCAA football, it's week number 6, and number 11 Penn State is off this week. Rutgers will play Illinois, and NHL hockey got started last night with the Washington Capitals hoisting their championship banner for the Stanley Cup. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I'm Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Senators are taking turns reviewing the FBI's report into Judge Brett Kavanaugh's background following widespread demands for additional investigations into allegations of sexual assault. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham sits on the Senate Judiciary Committee.
It will never be enough. If you don't believe he's a gang rapist, if you don't believe he's a stumbling, bumbling, drunk, serial sexual predator, maybe you'll believe he lied about how much he drank in high school, that he threw ice in a party, in a bar, or he doesn't have the temperament, that he didn't handle being destroyed well. Enough already. Let's vote.
A final vote could take place Saturday for Kavanaugh. The Justice Department announced Thursday that 7 Russian military intelligence officers were charged with hacking anti-doping agencies and other organizations. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's time to find adventure on every drive. With Pennzoil Synthetics, you get complete protection for top engine performance. And between October 1st and November 30th, you'll get travel rewards to help you on your journey. With the purchase of any Pennzoil specialty motor oil change, you can earn up to $100 in travel reward credit. Save on hotels, rental cars, and activities. Visit Pennzoil.com/travelon to find participating locations. Pennzoil, make the switch. Travel on. Offer ends 11/30. Terms apply. Full details at Pennzoil.com/travelon.
Refreshingly crisp days and cool nights. Our favorite time of year is here. At thecompanystore.com, our thoughts are turning to the comforts of home, like soft flannel sheets, lofty down comforters, fluffy towels, and cozy sleepwear. And with thecompanystore.com friends and family event going on now, you enjoy free shipping and 25% off your next order. There's no better time to shop. Visit thecompanystore.com and enter FAMILY18 at checkout for 25% off, plus free shipping. From our family to yours, thecompanystore.com.
The return of an El Nino weather pattern will have a direct influence on the approaching winter season. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
AccuWeather expert long-range forecaster Paul Postolak tells us he believes the biggest area of concern for travel will be from the southern plains up through the mid-Atlantic states this winter.
Well, we're going to start off with a lack of Arctic air and true.